breaks eternal bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the sky, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Amen. You may take your seat this evening. I think we'll try and sing a Christmas carol at this time of year. We'll try and get one in now. We'll sing that one the children were playing this morning, Once in Royal David City. And try your best with this one. No, these ones are the ones when he sing really once a year. So we're a bit out. We don't have it, Matthew, no. I wonder, Matthew, have you a Christmas carol there you can give us? We have got it, yep. Once in Royal David City stood a lowly cattle shed, where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed. Amen.
Once in Royal David City stood a lowly cattle shed, where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed. Mary was that mother mine, Jesus Christ, her little child. He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. And his shelter was a stable, and his cradle was a stall, with the poor and meek and lowly lived on earth our Savior holy. And through all his wondrous childhood, he would honor and obey. Oh, and what the lovely mother, in whose gentle arms he lay. Christian children all should be mild, obedient, good as he. For he is our childhood's father, day by day, like us he grew. He was little, weak and helpless, tears and smiles, like us he. And he feared for our sadness, and he shared within our gladness. And our eyes his own redeeming love. For that child, so dear and gentle, is our Lord in heaven above. And he leads his children on to the place where he is on. Not in that poor lowly stable with the ark since and Eli, we shall see him body in heaven, set at God's right hand on high. When life's dark, his children grand, all in white shall be arrived.
Amen. Amen. We'll sing one more, and then we'll hand over to our Pastor Tommy, and he can introduce our brother. We'll sing that one, Years I Spent in Vanity and Pride, in 332 in the Red Book. Maybe we'll stand our feet again just before the door comes.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing that it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul find liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned, then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul find liberty at Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything, now I gladly own him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul find liberty at Calvary. I brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty hope that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdens of my liberty at Calvary.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one, and we'll do everyone a warm welcome. And I'm not going to take up any time, but I want our Brother John to come and just bring whatever the Lord's laid in his heart. And I said to Brother John coming in, I'd like him to come next year. We'll do a week of meetings in the hall here sometime next year. And Brother John's keen to do that as well. So the Lord bless you, brother. Come ahead and pick your liberty.
Well, I thank God with all of my heart for the Lord opening doors for us. And thank God every door that he do open is a blessing. And I thank God for it, but I want to pray for God, Father. Dear Lord God, Almighty Father, you know everyone that comes through the door tonight, Lord. every one of us. You know even what we're thinking tomorrow, never mind now, Lord. And Lord, I'm asking you in the name above all names, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, will you intervene in every part of this message that I'm going to preach tonight, Lord? I ask you from the depths of my heart for seeds to be planted here tonight. I do ask you for souls to be saved here tonight. I do ask you for healing and miracles to be done here this night, Lord. And above all, Lord, that you be in every part of it, that you be lifted on high through every part of it, that everyone that comes in, including ourselves, that neither one of us go out the same as we come in, that we go out knowing that we've heard from you. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, I ask you to grant this prayer. Help me, Lord. Use me as you will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I thank God with all of my heart for this place here, even for the way they're blessed with even a loan of it. And I thank God that the help of God, that the Lord will bless those that have done that. And I praise God for Tom. I thank God for him. I heard him preaching a few times. And I even said to myself, sorry, I'd love to preach like that man. But then God had to solve different ways. I preach my way, he preached his way. And it's blessed. And I thank God for it. And I thank God for those that is sharing the gospel. And I love sharing the gospel. No matter where I am at, I'm on a plane, I'm telling somebody about Jesus. I'm a man of ship, I'm telling somebody about Jesus. As I'm in the car, I'm praying about Jesus. I'm thanking God. And I love him with all of my life, all of my heart. Because without him, I have nothing. I can't even breathe oxygen without God. We can't even live without God. And I thank God from the depths of my heart, for he saved me and my wife and my children. And we have household salvation in our family. And that gives me peace that when we are, our time is up in this earth, that we're going to wake up in heaven and hell. That we're going to meet each other. When we get full of up there, and I thank God about that. Because it's beautiful. Now, this is my part of my sermon tonight. I just show you. I cannot read or write, but I can have a brain. I thank God for it. And yeah, I'm going to share with you tonight. I'm not hearing, you know, for the last couple of hours, you know, way back years ago, I kept a lot of rare breeds of animals. I had alpacas and llamas and a big massive camel, and I had Scotch Highland cattle and all different. All my life I love animals. But anyway, the place where I used to go to get food for my animals is a big massive place, and I'd like a corridor down. And at the end of the building, there's a big stand and a cage in it and a parrot. And for 6 solid months, every time I walked through the building, into the door, I went straight to the parrot and I sung, "My shackles is gone, my spirit is free, oh praise the Lord, he lifted me." Amen. For 6 solid months, every time I went through the door, I walked straight to the parrot and I sung, "My shackles is gone, my spirit is free, oh praise the Lord, he lifted me." And the man called me over, he said, "Mr. Purcell, can I see you for a minute?" He said, "I want to explain something about that parrot. We've got parrot 10 years. He hasn't spoken one word yet. So it's a waste of time what you're doing." So anyway, I paid for myself and I walked to the door and left the parrot. And the following week come again, I went straight to the parrot and the song, "My shackles is gone, my spirit is free. Oh, praise the Lord, he lifted me." And the man done this, I could see him doing that. In other words, he's saying I was mad, in other words. But anyway, it was during the troubles. And anyway, this car come in my entrance, and it's coming in sideways into my entrance. And the man run up to the door, and he start banging the door. Mr. Purcell. Say, what is it? I thought somebody's killing him or trying to hijack him or something. He said, quick, he said, "The parrot is singing, my shackles is gone, my spirit is free. Oh, praise the Lord, he lifted me." Say, good, so he's having a meeting. But anyway, I jumped into the car with him instead of getting my own car with excitement. And me and him flew back about 7 miles, and there was a crowd of people around the cage. And they were able to get the parrot swing up. "My shackles is gone. My spirit is free. Oh, praise the Lord. He lifted me." He was having a meeting. Well, then I looked at the parrot. And I realized, and I looked at the people, I realized that the parrot was more freer than the ones around the cage. I knew some had marriage problems. I knew some people had health problems. I knew some was waiting for results coming back from the doctor. And yet the parrot was singing, "My shackles is gone, my spirit is free. Oh, praise the Lord, he lifted me." There's so many people through this land, and they're shackled. They're snared. And they don't realize that there's only one prayer away from Christ.
Amen.
We need to surrender our whole life to Christ, because he is risen. He is alive. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. I never forget, for years ago, I cannot read and write, and I used to call it out stuff from my life. You know, it's got to carry on, that's our business. And any time I passed this big, massive barn, you might see it, with John 3:16 on the side of it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, for whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For 40 years, I watched the side of that building, and I could not read. Every time I went past in the lorry, I wonder what is that written on that side and that barn. For 40 years, I never knew. 40 years, I never knew. And when I got saved, and my wife started to teach me the Word of God, I can memorize the Word of God. I can live and breathe the Word of God. Because without this Word, we have nothing. We're spiritually dead. But when we get into the Word of God, His strength is food to our inner being.
Amen.
It's absolutely beautiful to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But for 40 years, I looked at that sign. 40 years. Driving a lorry. And I often said, so I wonder what is that on the back, on the side of that barn? And then when I learned the scripture, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. For whosoever shall never believe in him, shall not pray, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
My whole inner being shook. I come home rejoicing. I start telling my wife the scripture that she teach me. It was on a barn for 40 years. I didn't know what it was. For 40 years, I had no relationship with Jesus. But when I knew what he meant, and when I knew what the Word of God said, now I used to know Jesus. But now I know him as my Lord and my Savior.
Amen.
I mean, you haven't before was saved. But now I know him. I love him with all of my heart. And I preach all over the world. I've been all over the world preaching the gospel. I preached in some of the biggest places that you've ever seen, with even thousands of people I preached. It's more easy to preach to 10,000 people than one. But I love preaching the gospel. Because God had chosen me. I didn't choose God. God chose me.
Amen.
When you see people getting saved and getting healed and touched and blessed and healed and set free, that blesses me. It blesses me. And there's so many innocent poor people have hurt deep down from years ago. And they're still holding on to it, and they're not surrendering it over to Christ. And if they don't realize that they just give it all up to God, it's like a hand goes down in your inner being and take all the hurt out of your system, all the pain and hate and anger out of your system, and you can go around with a skip. You can skip going around, and you can whistle it. You feel that blessed.
Amen.
Amen.
It's absolutely beautiful to be blessed.
Yes.
They know Amen. Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. To have no more fear of death whatsoever. Isn't that beautiful to have no fear of death? That you know, that you know, that you know, that when your time comes, that you're going to wake up at the big golden gates, the big pearly gates.
Amen.
It's absolutely beautiful. I used to think it was only one gate. Now I know there's 12 gates going into heaven. Isn't that beautiful to know that?
Mm-hmm.
And I thank God. And now I know that heaven is real, the new Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. I'm going to live in a city where there's no hate or anger. I'm going to live in a city where there's love, because God is love. I'm going to live in a city where there's peace, because God is peace. I'm going to live in a city forever with a smile, knowing that my Redeemer lives.
Yes.
Isn't that beautiful to know that?
Amen.
To know that you're going to wake up in a city where there's no death, where there's no funerals, there's no graveyard in heaven. You know that? There's no graveyard in heaven. I thank God. Everything from the body present with the Lord.
Yes.
Isn't that beautiful to know?
Amen.
I thank God that I know the truth, and the truth have set me free. And I praise God with all of my heart for knowing Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. I'm just going to share a couple little illustrations. Just me notes there, look. So if somebody can read if you want. So I praise God for it. See, here's one here. This particular one here. Bless his name. It's about this here, look. I was preaching up in Scotland. I preach a lot in Scotland. I do a lot of missions up in Scotland. The Highlands. Thank God for it. But anyway, the first night, me and my wife and my daughter went up to do a mission. And in the guest house, In the early hours of the morning, we're going to preach in a tent for 10 days. A big tent meeting. And anyway, I start sketching the tent that I'm going to preach in that night, sitting up praying. And I kept, with a pen, I start drawing this tent. And the more I draw the tent, it was turning into a ship. And there's a wheel house. You don't see a wheel house on top of a ship or in the tent. And then there's a big anchor here, and then a propeller. And I got afraid. Say, Lord, what are you showing me, Lord? I didn't know what he was doing to me. No matter what I'm doing with the pen was turned into a ship. This thing was turned into a ship instead of a tent. Say, Lord, please, Lord, make it more clear to me the way I can understand. I don't know what you're saying, what you're showing me. I do not know, Lord. Please make it more serious, more clearly, clearer. And anyway, all of a sudden, he showed me a big ship and up in the North Pole and all frozen in with ice. And then he showed me that they had to bring in an ice breaking ship to crack up the ice to set the ship free. And the way God showed me that to break through some all of this land even here, there's a lot of frozen dead religion. Religion can never get to heaven. I don't care what age religion you have. If Jesus is the way, not religion. A lot of poor people, innocent people, they're sitting on pews for decades and they think because they're a good person, they don't know, they don't need Jesus no more. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And only through the blood of Jesus, redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb of God. There's no other way, only through the blood. But anyway, no matter what I've done, he starts showing me this, and then I realize that the ship, the tent we're going to preach in, and it's a nice freaking ship. No matter where we go, it's breaking up and cracking up dead, frozen religion. And releasing people, letting people know that they need to accept Jesus as the Lord and the Savior.
Amen.
No matter who you are, no matter how much money you have, I don't care if you're a billion, trillion year. About to watch out. I know with all in my heart that you're going to be taken for everything that you have. Everything you have, you're going to be lifted from it. You're going to be taken from it. Two boys came in around my place one time. And they started looking, in other words, look what this ship we have. And they were sort of digging, but I have a brain. So I knew what they ran about. And I put the leaf from the little bush. And said, you know what we have here, Simon? I do not own it. So I thought, God have blessed me and my wife and my children with a loan to it. And said, all what you see, I do not own it. And said, you see that leaf there? I can't even bring that with me when I'm taken from the face of this earth. But say, I know where I'm going. Say, to see the keys to your car, say, you can't bring them with you. But say, you know where you're going. We need to know that we know that we're going to wake up in heaven.
Amen.
One thing that you will not miss, you're going to die. That's one thing you can be sure of. You're going to face God what you like it or not. And you're going to have to cry out unto him. And you better do it before it's too late. But we're all only passing through. Hell is real. The devil is real. God is real. I mean that with all in my heart, that God is real. I know him as my Lord and my Savior. I've seen miracles happening through the power of our Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I've seen people healed from all different types of illnesses through the power of Jesus. People have said, you healed me. I did not. I can't even breathe oxygen without God. It's only Jesus the healer. He's the healer. And I thank God for that. But anyway, I'm just trying to find a note here for a minute. There's a young boy there, look. Put him on the paper. His brain was completely rotten away. And the thought of the whole family ended up turning the machine off, that young boy. And his uncle come and asked me, John, will you come and pray with me? Nephew, they're turning the machine off. They can't do no more. Some of the disease in the brain is such seriously brain. But anyway, we went. And we went into the hospital, the Mater Hospital, and there all the families in the room going to say goodbye. And anyway, we went in and said, woman kept on putting negative words the whole time. He's dying, he's dead and this. Say, look, Si, if I didn't believe, Si, that your child would be not healed, Si, why did I come all the way from Uri to pray for your child? Say, it'd be a bit silly, wouldn't it? Say, listen to me, the next word that you're going to get about your son will not be bad news, but it's good news. Say, you're not going to forget those words. Say, listen to me. Say, we're going in to pray for him. I say, wait, you see. And I went in with faith, knowing and believing that my Father, God Almighty,
Amen.
It's nothing impossible for Jesus.
Amen.
I'm awakening and I mean this with all of my heart. I laid hands on that young man and I prayed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I took authority over the power that was wrong with his brain at the time. And I could feel the presence of God touching this young man. And when you're brain dead, you're brain dead. You cannot vote, you cannot move. You know, you're brain dead. You are dead. The next morning, that young fella sat up in bed. I mean this with all of my heart. I can take it to the mother and father. And the woman kept saying, how did you know? How did you know? So I know Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. There's nothing impossible for God. I mean that. There was two young men that rung me from Scotland the other day. It's 2 months ago now. It might be 2 months or more. And anyway, one young man rung me from Fife, away up in Scotland. I said, John, he said, you prayed for my auntie years ago, when I have children, you have three children now. And you prayed for me, Uncle Jack. And he was dead, and we're all called in to say goodbye to him. And he said, you said, put the phone to his ear, and the organs would start, I didn't forget about it, and the organs would come alive again. And I start praying down the phone, he said, and I start claiming the healing for him. I said, me Uncle Jack got out of hospital the next week, he got out of hospital. And he said, he never looked back since. Now he said, I have cancer in my liver. And he said, I'm in a bad way. And he said, I need you to lay a hands on me. And I'm coming over. So you don't need to come over. So I just prayed for a woman the other day and over in Scotland side, and she said, no, he said, the Lord led it in my heart that I have to come to you and you have to lay hands on me. I'm getting the plane over. Well, Sam, you don't have to, I can pray over the phone for you. I was worried about all the distance we'd have to fly in, innit? And no, he said, I'm coming. I forgot about him for about a half an hour. He ran back, I'm coming into Olive Grove at 7 o'clock. I couldn't be the other end of Ireland, anywhere. And anyway, well, Sam, that's good, so I'm here. I'll meet you at the airport. I mean, your friend went up to the airport, and there we met the two young men. And the young man, he was shivering with fear, you know, with the cancer. And I mean this with all of my heart. We prayed for him in that car. And she started prophesying of a young man. And every word was 100% that coming from her. And we prayed for every word that come from her to this young man, his brother. He was a big young man. And he was drinking alcohol. He was an alcoholic. And then they got the plane back over, prayed for the other man, we took authority over the cancer and bind it and rebuke it. About a month away, I won't be telling you now, I meet us with all the man. I was riding the lorry with a big white load. And I know you're not supposed to lift the phone, but this time it is. I lifted the phone. He said, John, he said, the cancer has gone from your liver. The blood has flown, the doctor said, through my liver. And he said, nobody said to me, you're lucky. We know he's blessed. And there's not a bit of cancer in that young body, that young man's body today, through prayer.
Amen.
See, we have to believe in Jesus.
Amen.
You know what I mean? Some people bow down to lumps of concrete and plastic and silver and gold. We don't do that. We bow down to the King of Kings and the Lord.
Amen.
We bow down to the one who created the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in it and out. We bow down to the one that gives us every oxygen that we breathe. Because we know it's our Lord and our Savior. And we're going to meet him, whether you like it or not, one way or the other, you're going to meet him. But it's nice to hear him saying, come in, my good and faithful servant. It's very, very important to know Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior. We've done that mission, and I mean this with all of my heart, with that tent, for 10 nights. And every night the tent was a bit bigger than this building here. It was packed every night. People getting saved and getting touched and healed every night at the mission. I'm not aware. I went up the mountain every day praying and asking God what to give me that night to share. And we did every night to give me something that hit the people with love, but we can't awaken them up. And I mean that with all of my heart. And I love Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior.
Amen.
It's very, very important. I'm over 32 years saved. And I remember two hours. And then it was 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 year, and that was 32 years on the road. Every time, and I've led tens of thousands of souls to Christ. We went from the Philippines, some people went all through the Philippines, thank God, and we led tens of thousands of people that had the passion of Christ and showed it in the villages. And then I get up and preach at the end, and you want to see the people come up crying unto the Lord. That's the truth. And if there's anything within 10 million people in the early hours of the morning, that they get, you know, they go to work very early, and the music was on, you know, the radio station. And they got me on for 5 minutes on the radio station. And I was preaching first. I mean, there 10 million people was listening in the early hours of the morning, preaching the gospel. And I thank God. And then I went to another place over in America, and we flew into America, and we took to a town that was only 400 people in it, and they built the church to hold 2,000 people, and they thought the pastor was mad. And when we went over there for the big conference, it was a pastor's conference, and we flew over there, and the place, hardly no room to stand, never mind to hold 2,000 people. They were shocked. And what happened then, they got me up nearly every night, and I got embarrassed. There was pastors from all over the world flew over. And every night they're asking me to get up. So I look like, somebody else a chance. So I just take the pastors from all over the world, like, every night they have me up. So I feel embarrassed, like, of getting me up so much. But I was making sense. I'm not saying that they didn't either. But it's good to share, and I thank God for it. But we led thousands and thousands of souls to Christ. And then we had a big auction. Where I used to keep an awful lot of stuff, you know, antique stuff. I had ploughs, a 40-year-old Crosstown ploughs, and I had 3 steam engines, and I had a whole lot of every type of stuff, antique stuff. And I walked down the yard one day, and I tripped up for the old tail pump. And I found a brick made the head, just missed it. And I got up. So I grabbed it up and went. And then I walked up another bit of the yard with all the weeds, and then I started pulling back other things. I said, look at all that there, rotting away. And then look, all of a sudden, sell it. All an auction. Where the moss and the rust and the teeth would rot. You can't bring a budget. Sell it. And I went to Carry Duff auction. And they knew my place, because I live on the main Dublin Road. Years ago, this is the main road. And everybody knew my place. And anyway, they took the team out, they proclaimed the whole yard, and we put all the lads, there's 500 lads in around the yard, and the engines and that had all trucks and everything in the world of Big Ben, and we started selling the whole lot. We sold everything. And then we went to the Philippines, and then we blessed the people out there. You see, it's good to do something. You can't bring it with you. And I've learned that over the years. And give, the more you give, the more you get back.
Amen.
I've seen that, and I know that for 100% it works. And I mean that with all my heart. And the same way, if you're winning souls for Christ, if you win one soul, you're going to win another one. You win another one, you're going to win another two. You're going to win and win and win and win, because you're preaching from your heart, not from your head. Look at me, what I can do, I cannot be lost without God. I cannot even live without God. But it's nice to do something for Jesus, and for we're taken from the face of the
sea. Amen.
It's beautiful to know that. And I thank God for it. But I'm going to say a salvation prayer in the name of Jesus. And I thank God with all of my heart. For what? I'll just get this here for a minute. I'm just going to show a short word of message. Luke chapter 17, verse 11 to 19. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And when he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and lifted their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass as they went, there were 10. When one of them saw that it was he turned back with a loud voice and glorified God, and fell down on his face and given him thanks that he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? They're not found to return to glorify God, said the stranger. Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. Complete. Now can you imagine this? And Jesus said, go show yourselves unto the priest. Now, I'm going to stand in as the priest for a minute. Why did this rabbi say, go show yourself to the priest? I am the one that examined those men and knew that they had leprosy.
I'm the one that sees the skin, like, well, that's burning. I'm the one that sees the even fingers missing and toes missing for them. I'm the one that told them to dress in sackcloth. I'm the one that told them that they have leprosy. I'm the one that told them to hold a rag over their face and shout, unclean, unclean, far off. Now, I treat all this. Why did this rabbi tell him to go show yourself to me? Now I'm going to have to examine those men, and I know they have leprosy. And now I see those men, and they're licking each other because some of them can't balance with the toes missing off their feet. And here they're coming to me now, and they're licking each other, and then they're not licking each other, they're letting each other go. And they're not sagging, they're not falling. And then I see the pain leaving their face, and now I see all excitement in their face, and then I see they have no pain, and now they're running to me. And I had to jump out of the way, or that they're going to knock me down. And then they came, and I told them to take the sackcloth off, and the skin was like baby skin. I looked at the fingers, they were back, fingers was missing, even toes missing, and they're back. I'm telling you, there's nothing impossible for Jesus. Yeah. Nothing.
Right.
It's absolutely beautiful to know Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior. I mean that with all of my heart. Jairus' daughter was really ill. And Jairus was a member of the Jewish ruling council, and they didn't like Jesus. But Jairus would heard that this prophet, this rabbi, going around healing people, and even the blind could see. And he done the thing where he could have been put out of the Jewish ruling temple even. But when your child is sick, you don't care about nothing. All you want is your child to heal and touch them, because you don't want to see nobody in pain. But he went to Jesus and he asked Jesus, would he come and pray for his daughter? And Jesus said, lead the way. And there was a multitude of people following him. And there was a woman with an issue of blood for 10 years. And she was a color of death. Sometimes she fell in the street. And a matter of fact, she's a far out of a relation of mine. Because we're all descended from Adam and Eve. And sometimes she would fall on the ground on the floor and nobody could touch her because she's unclean. And maybe about an hour before she got a bit of strength. She spent all her money in the doctors. But she built up her faith when somebody must have told him that Jesus is on the way to pray for Jairus' daughter. And she knew as she touched the rabbi, it was instantly stoned to death. But she built up her faith and she knew and she believed if she only could touch the hem of his garment, she would be healed.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
She come with no doubt whatsoever. You see, a lot of people that come up with doubt and they afford to even get prayer. They're thinking, oh, so how can he do that? Or how can that happen? It can happen. It do happen. I've seen it over the years. I've seen umpteen different people completely healed from cancer and all different types of illness through the power of Jesus. But that woman built her faith up as Jesus passing by. She reached out and touched the hem of his garment. So therefore, she must be on the ground, the hem of the garment, and she was instantly healed.
Amen.
And somebody ran up and said, "Don't bother the rabbi anymore. Jairus' daughter is dead." And Jesus said, lead the way. And when he went in, there was the child dead in the bed. And he said, damsel, he said, sit up. And life entered right back into her body.
Amen.
There's nothing impossible for Jesus. And Lazarus, his two sisters, very good people, you know that. Very generous women. And if you went to near their house, you got something to eat. Either a cup of coffee or a sandwich or a baby, a bum, a chocolate bum or something. Really good, friendly people. But they asked for Jesus to come, for the brother was sick. And Jesus held back for 2 days. And they were a bit upset. And when Jesus came, and you could see, you know the way you can read a person, you know there's something not right with them. They were upset, but they didn't come out with it. If you had a home when you were asked, he wouldn't be dead. But Jesus looked over there. He said, those of you put that stone over that door, road of the cave. He said, I want you to take that doubt that you put there out of the way. Roll it away. And then he shouted, Lazarus, come forward. And we all looked at each other and thought, there's something wrong with this man. Man is dead. I help him in Barman. You take the blood out, there's no blood in his body. You put in Barman in. We wrapped him up like a mummy. And I even put a garb in his mouth. And he's shouting, Lazarus, come forward. And after, you could see dust coming from the door of the tomb. And then we could hear noise in the tomb. And then Lazarus come out. And Jesus said, unwrap that out. Get it off.
Amen.
And it's not a bothering alive. You see, there's nothing impossible for God.
Amen.
I mean that with all of my heart, it's nothing.
Yes.
Because I've seen it with my own eyes. I have seen it. I've seen one particular team not too long ago. Me and my son were trying to get a big static mobile. You know a shoe, you can't turn a pair of boots in a shoebox. You've got to stick it into the box. You can't turn it. Well, we delivered the big static caravan to a place about the size of this square here, where they put a 40-foot caravan in through a gate, and it's impossible. We tried it. We got jacks and we tried to even push it to get it over the way we could get it in. You couldn't. We're there for hours. And I was preaching in Belfast that night. I was more worried. I didn't care about the caravan. I didn't care about nothing. I want to get to preach the gospel. I don't want to ever miss it. If somebody could end up in hell. And we walked away. So I gave it. I come back tomorrow and get it. And I knew well I wasn't going to get paid if I left with this type of people. I didn't care about it no more. I was thinking about somebody that needs to hear the gospel. And maybe some walking away like that, then we had a bang. And we looked back and I mean this with all of my heart. Neither whatsoever walking abomination or making alive will enter heaven. I'm not telling you a lie. This genuine happened. It fell off of the jacks and the caravan went in through the entrance, its own self, and up a bit of a hill. It was impossible. But there's nothing impossible.
Amen.
Nothing.
Lord.
I mean that with all of my heart. And we had a blessed meeting. I need about 7 or 8 people accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. They didn't try to stop us to get in there. But God cleared the way. All is beautiful to know. To know that you're going to wake up when your time opens in the underserved, that you're going to wake up in the New Jerusalem. Where the big crystal river running right from the throne.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
I never forget, there's a friend of mine, Jackie Rucci, I've some of might know him, years ago. He used to go around an old post office on and a tent, and he used to preach the gospel. And he used to Itchy Jackie, he could hit his ear about 100 times at a second. We used to call him Itchy Jackie. And the godliest man that you ever seen in your life from away from John O'Groats. And that man went home to heaven. And John Greenaway asked me, are you coming to the funeral? I said, I'd love to go. I thought Glasgow was the end of Scotland. And anyway, we're leaving at 4 o'clock in the morning. And you come to the house, my house is there at 4 o'clock. We come on to get the early boat because it's a long drive up. And me thinking, Glasgow, that's the end of Scotland. But anyway, we've got to four o'clock we're there. And in the car, and just going to back through the entrance, and he's right come out roaming. Whoa! And she brought a polythene bag, not a bin bag, half full of oranges. And she gave it to her husband, put it in the front of the car with him. And when we got off at Stranraer, he picked an orange and ate it. And he could clock him for about every 25 miles for 470 miles, he picked an orange and ate it. And what really baffled me, he never groaned with the groans. But about 3 months after, when we come back, about 3 months after, he had a dream. Lying in bed. And the dream that he had, it was him and Jesus walking along the banks of the Crystal River, where it produced all manner of fruit every month. And of him and Jesus walking down along. And he said, oh, look, Jesus, an orange tree. Yes, John, he said, I know it's an orange tree. He said, reach out and take one. And John reached out and took an orange off the tree. And when he took back, Jesus, I know skin and the orange. I know that, he said, John, he said. He said, there's no pollution here. I am the protector. He said, take a bite of it. And John took a bite of the orange, and his whole inner being had a party with the taste. He never tasted the like, and now you have to pick him up the tree, you know what? He's not even asleep in the bed, and all the drink was on the pillow. But he woke up, and he had to get an orange. He went into the living room, there's two apples, no good. He was going to dial a friend. But he went to the fridge, and his wife, he must have knew about him, and he got this orange. And he started peeling the orange, he found the skin everywhere. He get this bite that he just dreamed about, this taste he just dreamed about. And he took a bite of it, and it was like a lemon. Come taste and see that the Lord is good. Nothing impossible for Jesus. Nothing. I would like everybody to bow their head, please. Now I'm an evangelist. I led people from all different parts of the world to Christ. And I'm doing it out of love, because I am an evangelist and I know what can happen to a lost soul. You could be a well-to person, or you might have a penny in your pocket even. It doesn't matter. But you're not going to take that, would you? It's all going to be left behind anyway. But if you're not saved, if you're not sure of waking up in the morning, if your time is up, because the Lord has promised nobody, today is the day of salvation. Right? And I'm not going to embarrass anybody in any way. And I'm not greedy. I don't want to keep Jesus for myself. I want to share Jesus with every person. And sitting on a pew for decades would not get you to heaven. Is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior will get you to heaven. And there's so many poor people sitting in pews for decades and they think they're okay. They're not okay to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You only know of him, but you can know him as your Lord and Savior. And I'm going to say a salvation prayer. And do not attempt to say this prayer because I'm telling you to say it. You don't look that way. But if you want to wake up in heaven, you need to say this prayer from your heart. But if you don't want to wake up in heaven, if you want to go to hell, don't attempt to say this prayer. Because if you say this prayer from your heart, you're going to be saved. But don't say it and you want to wake up in hell. But if you want to wake up in heaven, you need to cry out from your heart unto Jesus. Forget about me. I'm an evangelist. I can lead you to the Lord. And I'm not going to embarrass anybody in any way, because it's between you and God yourself. Between you and God. And all I want to ask you to do is just repeat those words after me. And we all have a tongue. And don't be ashamed of him here in this earth, because if you're ashamed of him here, he'd be ashamed of his father up in heaven. So just repeat those words after me, if you want. Oh Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to forgive me for my sins. And I open the door of my heart. And I welcome you in. Come in, Lord Jesus. Come in to stay and change my life your way. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for me. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. While every head is bowed and every eye closed, I am not going to embarrass nobody to tell anybody or ask anybody to the front, because between you and God yourself, all I want to know, did you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And just put your hand up and pull it back down. That's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to tell anybody about it. No, I'm not going to embarrass anybody or ask anybody to the front. Just where you are, just put your hand up and pull it back down. Because you need to know that you're going to wake up in heaven, not hell. For the last time, is the one in this meeting that said that prayer from the heart for the first time. I plead with you from the depths of my heart. Be the one before I close in the name of Jesus. I plead with you. You're going to die. That's one thing you can be sure of. But you're going to live forever in heaven if you said that prayer. Will you please tell somebody or ring somebody before this night is out and tell them that you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Or even speak to the pastor here or myself even. But if anybody wants prayer for healing, we would love to lay hands on you and we would pray for healing for you. If you have sickness in your body, we believe with all of our heart that it'll go. That's the way we're going to pray. So God bless everyone. Can you put your hand ahead of? So thank God for you. Thank you very much, Pastor, for even having me here.
It's a blessing to be here. I mean that. And I thank God for you. But if you want prayer, I would love to pray with you. And we do pray for thousands of people. So I thank God for you.
Praise the Lord. Let's stand on our feet, and maybe Brother Mark will come and Sister Oliva to the organ, and we're going to just sing. Our Brother Mark will lead us, and then if anyone wants prayer while we're singing, come ahead on up, and Brother John will pray for you, whatever your condition is or ailment. And you've heard tonight how the Lord's touched people. God can touch you no matter what it is. God is able. Amen. And God bless you, Brother John. We're going to have him back again. We're going to run a week of meetings, the Lord will. The Lord is willing. That's the thing about the Lord.
Amen. We'll sing I Hear Thy Welcome Voice, 311. And,
Amen. Amen.